April 16th, 2007 will come to order. I apologize for starting late. Several people had other business that they had to attend to before they could get to us. We're going to deal with our work session first, and so we will open the work session on House Bill 2745. And I understand that Representative Berger has an amendment to propose to the is it dash three, Representative?
It's dash one, I believe.
Oh, okay. I have one labeled dash three.
Dash three? Okay, it's dash three. Sorry. Yeah. Let me make sure that
yeah.
it is.
So it's being passed around right now, and
yes,
Representative, we did have a public hearing on this bill back in March, so it may be a little bit for people to recall. People will be aware that this is a teamwork bill and requires a work session. It has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. And Representative Berger, if you would.
Mr. Chair.
Why don't you explain your amendment?
May I move the amendment first?
Yes, please.
I've been caught on this before that I can't speak to an amendment. I haven't moved.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash three amendments be incorporated into House Bill 2745.
Representative Berger moves the dash three amendments. Representative Berger.
If you recall, this was a teamwork bill. It proposed dedicated patrol funding. That's police, state police patrol funding from lottery. We also have, there has been much discussion over whether this needs to go for a referral. We have a letter from our council indicating that it is and can be a function of economic development, which is an approved use of lottery dollars, and this bill dedicates, and by this amendment, instead of being a straight amount, it is a dedicated source of funding for state police through lottery at a rate of 5% of the unallocated funds of the Administrative Service Economic Development Fund, which comes to about $32 million this biennium, and the amendment, also makes it very clear that this dedicated source is only for patrol division, not for state police totally. In other words, it would bring up the patrol to a very reasonable level and provide coverage through patrol, and then leaves in general fund a whole host of other state police functions.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on the dash three amendments? This is a major shift in the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Berger, how much does $32 million buy us in the way of highway patrol, additional officers in addition, do we know?
Approximately $200,000 per patrol officer per year. So, Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, you're quicker at that kind of math than I am.
Looks like about 80.
I have people who could come.
$16 million a year.
Per biennium.
We're being told that $200,000 per biennium.
Per biennium.
$100,000 a year. That did provide a substantially larger salary than I thought we were paying.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Per biennium, not per year.
It'd be 160 officers.
Yeah.
But this bill goes to Ways and Means when we pass it here.
Yes, and the vision here, I'm glad you asked this question, is that if we dedicate at the patrol level this many officers that is given and assured, then in general fund, a lot of other state police functions can be, you know, talked about in Ways and Means, and including other officers. But what we were looking for is a way to say there is dedicated patrol and a funding source for dedicated patrol. And this would make sure that there's a core of police patrol on the highways no matter what. As long as, you know, it's a function of lottery. If the lottery continues to grow, then it's a growing source. If the lottery begins to shrink, well, there's a whole bunch of other issues we need to talk about.
Thank you. Further discussion on the dash three amendments. Is there objection to the dash three amendments? If not, the dash three amendments are adopted as a part of the bill. Representative Reed.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2745 to the Committee on Ways and Means without recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Reed moves House Bill 2745 to the House floor with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means without recommendation. To your motion.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the efforts of Representative Berger and her teammates, as well as a variety of other people who proposed a variety of mechanisms. I think the goals are laudable, and the mechanism deserves a thorough discussion in the Ways and Means Committee.
Thank you. Other discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, we have a number of bills before us that funds or that are that whose the intention of which bills is to fund and fully fund the department and the additional officers 24/7, 365. If we are serious about sending a recommendation down from the Revenue Committee, I would just ask for the record, why are we sending it without recommendation?
Well, I think that my response to that would be that there, I do expect there to be a number of different proposals, and I hope that we're sending bills that the Revenue Committee considers work from the revenue point of view, but the Ways and Means Committee needs to decide exactly how the funding side of the mechanism works, and that's the key point in this bill anyway, as I understand it.
Mr. Chair, if I may then, are we going to have work sessions on others of the bills which are before us today and send them out with recommendation
as to a due pass?
Boy, I don't know. I think it depends on the aspects of those bills. Some of them actually raise revenue. I would think it would be incumbent on this committee for bills that actually raise revenue to recommend whether we like the revenue raising idea or not.
Well, finally, Mr.
Ones
Chair,
that don't raise revenue, of course, are in some ways outside of our purview.
Finally, Mr. Chair, if I may just ask, if we have testimony here today that indicates that this would fund 160 officers and is dedicated to the patrol division, why would we not recommend to the Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation?
Well, I think my response to that issue is that the Ways and Means Committee is the one that's going to have to decide how to parse the budget. That's their primary job, and that's what this issue is about, is parsing the budget.
And I appreciate that, but I still believe that we could give a positive recommendation with regard to it, and they will still have the full weight and credit of the Ways and Means process, where they've got 19 or 20 people from both chambers working on it from both political aspects. So I would think that the due pass recommendation would let them know that we are serious about funding the Ways and Means or funding the police officers on a 24/7, 365, 160 officers, and then they can come back and tell the full committees of the House and the Senate, after they have considered it in the Ways and Means process, it's either insufficient for 160 officers but sufficient for 135 officers, and then they can massage it accordingly. Certainly they have the ability to amend it there.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would benefit greatly with a public hearing on the other bills so that in my own mind I could determine which one among them or ones I thought merited a recommendation.
Okay. Are there other members of the committee who would prefer to put off a vote on this issue today and deal with the issue more generally, come back to the issue later? Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I actually concur with what Representative Witt said.
Representative Berger?
Mr. Chair, I think the original question of Representative Butler is apropos here. This is my bill. Of course, I want it to move. I don't want it to die, but there are other proposals here for public hearing today that I also want to move. And so if it is your intention to move a bunch of bills, let this be among them. If it is your intention to or somebody's intention to move this on so it dies somewhere, please be cognizant that I would like to keep this bill very much alive.
Thank you. I'm going to try to deal with the implied question contained there. Funding the state police is a significant and important issue for the state of Oregon. I believe the legislature needs to deal with this issue and to make certain that we end up with an adequate patrol division when we're all done. Exactly how we get there from here is not yet clear, and I agree with you and also with Representative Witt about that. We're going to take a very short break, so we'll stand at ease for 3 minutes and don't go any further. Committee on Revenue is back in order, and we are in work session on House Bill 2745. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to propose an amendment to Representative Reed's motion that we move House Bill 2745 as amended to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Gelser moves that the motion be amended by changing it from a without recommendation to a with a due pass recommendation. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that this is it's a good bill. I do agree that Ways and Means has the purview to parse it and fit the dollars together. It is a teamwork bill that came to us from both sides of the aisle, and I think it's a good first step towards moving towards funding of our state police.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
It's on the amendment to the motion. Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, I think that the parliamentary rules would go back to Representative Reed to make sure that he is in concurrence or speaks to the motion to amend his motion.
Well, it is an order to make it a motion to amend the motion, mm-hmm. and that's what Representative Gelser has done. If Representative Reed wants to speak to that motion, he certainly may do so.
My God, of course.
Representative Reed?
Mr. Chair, I'm fine with that. With that amendment.
All right. Is there further discussion? Is there any objection to the amendment? Without objection, the amendment is adopted, and the motion is on the motion to refer to the floor with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion on that motion? Please call the roll.
Aye.
Excused.
Weller votes yes.
Aye.
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 Chair votes aye. The motion, having received the required majority, is adopted, and the House Bill 2745 goes to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
And, Mr. Chair, as amended.
Thank you. As amended with the -3 amendments, thank you very much. And it goes to the committee with a due pass recommendation. And that being the concluding the business on the work session, we'll close the work session. And we're going to open a public hearing on a number of bills having to do with state police funding. So we open a public hearing on House Bill 2955, House Bill 3271, House Bill 3422, House Bill 3535, and House Joint Resolution 28. And we have a number. Why don't you, Mazin, give us a quick summary? And I'll simply note that there has been distributed a matrix that sort of points out what the main attributes of these various bills are.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we put a matrix, as you mentioned, to what the slight difference is between the different bills in some sort of matrix format. Let's start with House Joint Resolution. The Joint Resolution basically sends the an amendment to the Constitution in a referendum type. What it allows is for the currently restricted lottery funds to include the use by the state police to the allowable uses of the Constitution in the lottery fund. And further, it dedicates 10% of that total lottery funds to the state police, the policing function. And in, as you see, approximately this would be about 130 million in the House Bill 3422. It has a different variation on it. It establishes, first of all, the Oregon State Police Fund and makes it a separate and distinct fund from the general fund, which also includes the accrual of all its interests to the same fund, and then dedicates 1.3% of the general fund as well as another 1.3% of the lottery fund to the Oregon State Police Fund. Those would be combined something in the neighborhood of about 150 million biennium. House Bill 3535 establishes the Oregon State Police Patrol Division Fund, and that's a little different from the one on 3422, that it is a patrol division fund. The mechanism by which it funds or transfers money to the fund is through the dedication of 1% of the general fund to that patrol division fund. That's about 133 million. Then House Bill 2955 establishes the Oregon State Police Fund, again, and also separate and distinct from the general fund, and dedicates 1.5% of the general fund to that OSP fund, as it's called. That's on the neighborhood of about $400 million. House Bill 3271 suggests to fully fund state police out of the general fund. Although I put numbers with everything else, I wasn't necessarily able to attach a number to this one because whether we're talking about funding that are changing all the funding of the state police from other funds and federal funds and fish and wildlife and so on, take those out and fund everything through the general fund, that all that will make a difference of how much that means to fund state police fully out of the general fund. And finally, House Bill 2745 already passed, but it's in the matrix just because it was a state police funding day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have a number. Yes, Representative Berger.
Mr. Chair, may I speak briefly to the whole package?
Sure.
You'll notice that under the sponsor list, my name is there. And there's a reason, and that is because this is really top priority for me coming in to find a source of dedicated funding for State Patrol. I would like to speak specifically to HDR 28, which was originally a companion piece to the bill that we just moved, which we originally thought this had to have a referral with it. It has not been amended as the bill has, but if it were to move, if there was a convincing argument that this does need to go with it, then it would need amendment. But as I said, from legislative counsel, we have pretty convincing legal opinion that it is not necessary.
Thank you very much. Representative Witt.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm left to wonder what happens if the legislature were to create an Oregon State Police Fund and its many various permutations here, and subsequently a referendum were to be passed by the voters.
I think that's an excellent question to put to various of our witnesses today as we proceed, and perhaps to ask for legal help on that kind of question. Are we ready to go ahead? We have a number of witnesses to be heard today on these bills, and the reason for opening all of them at once is so that people can be relatively free to talk about the subject of state police funding, and the methods the legislature might use to do it, and also the need for it. Since these bills are first being heard today, it's perfectly appropriate for those who are testifying to talk about why it is we want to do this. I think most of us are pretty familiar with the concepts, but that doesn't mean that you don't have information that we can use. And the purpose of opening the mall is really basically not to limit people, except we've gotten so many people signed up that we're going to have to ask people to do it with dispatch. And I see two members here who would like to be heard and probably are doing other committees. Are there others? Why don't the two members, two representatives, come forward and we'll hear from them first, and then we'll go right into our list. Representative Thatcher, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Ladies first.
Oh, well, I thought maybe you weren't long for the world. I thought I'd let you go first.
We hope that's not true.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Kim Thatcher, representative from Kaiser, St. Paul, and Newburg. And essentially, if there's anything that is more important to do this session, I can't think of it, other than walking out of this building, having dedicated funding to the patrol services of the Oregon State Police. That is a huge priority, and HJR 28 is one, like Representative Berger mentioned, it was a companion to House Bill 2745, and if it did come up for a work session, we would amend it to be similar. What it would do is set it in the Constitution. It would memorialize it and make sure that it could not get raided, essentially, and it would make sure that it was locked into the Constitution. That's what this amendment would do. And according to a recent poll I heard about, 55% of Oregonians want to see dedicated funding towards state police.
Thank you.
That's all I have to say. So. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6, Medford. You have quite a variety in front of you, but they all have one similar theme, and that is adequate and dedicated funding to state police. We have done a terrible misjustice as a legislative body toward the state police in this state. 1976, in Josephine County, we had 35 troopers. 1976, in Jackson County, we had 40. Today, after the population has gone up over 40%, Josephine County has 8 troopers and Jackson County has 11. That's the type of job we've done with funding of our state troopers. We have to stop the bleeding, otherwise we aren't going to have a backbone in the state of Oregon for our law enforcement. And it behooves us to do this and embark upon this. I'm on every one of these bills, I think, except one. I don't know how I didn't get on that one, but I don't know. I was asleep at the switch or something. But no matter what we do, this is just the first basis that we have to start with. We have some potential problems coming down the track that we're going to have a crash with the train. And what I mean by that is when you lose O&C revenues in rural counties and you start losing your sheriff's departments in those counties, we better be prepared as a state to backfill some of that law enforcement. Otherwise, we've done, another misservice to this state of Oregon. That's something we have to do in the future. Right now, we have to get 24/7 at least as a minimum, I feel. These bills, each and every one of them, I believe, approaches that. I am a co-sponsor with Representative Olson on 3535. I am a co-sponsor with Representative Buckley on 3422. Those bills allocate and segregate dedicated funding out of the general fund, which needs to be done because obviously we have not done well at that as a legislative body. And this is not a party situation. This is a legislative situation. Every party has blood on their hands with not appropriately funding the state police. That's a fact. So now it's up to us to take care of this, and these are the vehicles to do it, and I hope we pick out a very good one or two. But my feeling is one of these must be dedicated to state police funding. Otherwise, they'll be here in 5 or 10 years. They'll be talking about, you know, back in 2006 or 2007, we had 11 troopers in Medford, and, you know, now we're down to 4. That's going to be the end result. So hopefully we'll come to a conclusion on this and get some dedicated funding for this staff.
Thank you, Representative. Questions for the representatives?
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Butler.
Just one question. While we talk about lottery distributions and setting aside money from the lottery under House Joint Resolution 28, please recognize that the lottery has continued to grow so far as its size, but then it begins to wax and wane, or begins to wane after it's waxed strong with the addition of new games, and then those new games grow old. What happens when we cross over the top of that? Each time we've been able to add some different kinds of games, and I think Oregon is second only to Florida at this point in terms of total offerings. If the funding goes down from lottery and we have backed a portion of the 10% of the net lottery funds that are available, what are we going to do in Oregon at that point?
Mr. Chair?
Do you want to try that one?
Sure, I'd be glad.
Go ahead.
Vice Chair Butler, I'm not sure that's the correct vehicle. Okay? I'm not convinced that it is the correct vehicle. We keep straining the lottery. We keep cutting the pie shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and keep dicing it up to the point of where pretty soon the voters are going to lock up and they're going to say no. So when do we cross that line? You're right, because the lottery is just like the general fund. It grows and it shrinks. It grows and it shrinks. What we need to do as a legislative body, in my opinion, is we need to dedicate funding to where our state police, which is the integral part of this, the backbone of law enforcement in this state, needs to have stable and sustainable funding. That's our job. I'm not sure the lottery is the answer, but I do know this answer can come from this body.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
may I
take a shot at it?
Yes, please.
Thank you. 05-07, lottery revenues were $1.08 billion. 07-09, they're looking at $1.24 billion. 09-11, $1.38. 11-13, $1.52. It's been a steadily increasing source of revenue for the state, even during times of recession. It has continually gone up, even where general fund revenues might peak and valley all the time. And I also wanted to mention I have a couple of amendments for HJR. Excuse me, I have one amendment for HJR 28, which would make it applicable to the patrol division as well.
And that's the dash one, is it?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. I think that's been distributed.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions for this panel? Thank you both very much for your testimony. Representative Hunt.
Mr. Chair, for the record, State Representative Dave Hunt from Clackamas County. I think slowly there we've got a problem. I was really reminded of this when I did a ride-along near the end of last year in Clackamas County, and I was on from, I think, the 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift, and the trooper I was riding along with was covering, if you can envision this in your mind, Interstate 205, up to the Columbia River and all the way down to Interstate 5, which would be a pretty sizable area in and of itself. But in addition to that, was covering I-84 from 205 about halfway out toward Hood River, Highway 26, Highway 213, Highway 212, Highway 99E, and one other that I'm not remembering which one it is. And that was bad enough. But then, after that shift was done and I was going home, that office was shutting down. And so there was nobody out there patrolling that area after 2 in the morning. And so we've got a clearly devastating problem. And I think as you look back at the cut after cut after cut that have been made to the state troopers over the last 15 or 20 years, it just is, I mean, we're at the place now where we've cut way past the fat, deeply into the muscle and the bone. And we've got to turn this around. And that's why House Democrats last summer put together a pledge, even before we knew what the revenue was going to be for this year, that we were going to restore at least 100 troopers. After all these years of cutting and cutting and cutting, down to half of where we were 20 years ago, of actually restoring at least 100 troopers this biennium. And we stand completely behind that pledge. Now, I'll tell you, we made that commitment knowing full well that we were not going to be able to make up for all those years of disinvestment in 6 months. There's no way in one session or one biennium that we can make up for all those years of all those years of cuts. I think the thing that concerns me the most as I look at the proposals that are before you, some of them, I think, as Representative Esquivel outlined, some of them, for instance, the one that he and Representative Buckley have co-sponsored, clearly, legitimately puts new money on the table. I mean, there's no question that they are saying, here's new money we're going to identify, this is new money, and we're going to dedicate it to a specific source. I'm very concerned that other proposals that are before you, Mr. Chair, do not do that, that they are trying to do the same thing that we have done in the last bunch of years, which is pit state police and public safety against education and health care. And that's the situation where we've got, because when public safety is pitted against those, public safety and state troopers have lost session after session after session. We've got to change the cycle. And continuing to have them come out of the general fund, even if it's a specific allocation, that's not a dedicated funding source. That is not something that will really protect state troopers, thereby protecting us, our highway safety, thereby protecting us from meth, from the legislature in the future, doing exactly what our predecessors have done year after year. And so fundamentally, I guess the message I have before you is that we can't get something for nothing. That if by simply using general funds, simply by allocating a percentage of general fund, that is not going to get us where we need. It's going to be neither dedicated nor real money. And I fear it's just going to raise expectations again. Expectations, frankly, of both state troopers, but also of all the Oregonians that are served by state troopers. Each of us, every day, going to raise expectations high and then dash them as we get back into these end-of-session fights between education and healthcare and public safety, and there are not enough dollars on the table. I think one of two things has to happen, and some of the bills before you do this. Either we have to come up with truly new money, and that could be new money from a new revenue source, or that could be new money from a series of specific budget cuts, where we specifically say these are new dollars outside the governor's budget, outside the co-chair's budget, that we're going to allocate specifically to state troopers. Or we need to just acknowledge that if we're going to do something like House Bill 3535, we just need to acknowledge that that is not dedicated funding and that it's just going to get wrapped up in the same old end-of-session games that we've dealt with for far too many years. I believe, and I think Representative Esquivel and others have demonstrated, that the effort to permanently fund state police has to be bipartisan. It ought to be bipartisan, can be bipartisan. And I think each of us needs to be accountable for how much we are really willing to come forward and say, we are for this new revenue to dedicate it to state police, or we are for these specific budget cuts in order to allocate them to state police. If we're not willing to do one or the other, we're really being completely disingenuous, I think, in terms of saying we care about state police, but then not being willing to adequately fund them. We'll be back in the same boat where we have been before, where some of us will be standing up on the floor of the House and saying, this is not an adequate budget. This makes additional cuts to troopers. I think we've got an opportunity to do the right thing this year, to take advantage of the bipartisan energy that is there, and to finally turn the corner on this, and I would encourage us to do it in a way that truly creates a dedicated funding source and truly creates new revenue that will not get played off against schools and healthcare.
Thank you, Representative. I will note before we take questions that the bill you're referring to, the Buckley-Esquivel bill, is on our agenda for Wednesday when we talk about revenue-raising issues. But thank you. Representative Berger.
Yes, Mr. Chair, if you'll indulge me, a few questions for the good representative. I'm a little, not exactly on board with your argument that dedicated general fund is an ineffective tool to make a clear statement. And let me give you the example that I can think of quickly from this session. I didn't know what you were going to say, so I am thinking immediately. did we not recently in this session pass a rainy day amendment or a rainy day fund? And was it not included in that a clear statement from this legislature that 1% of any balance would be dedicated further to that rainy? And is it not true that any subsequent legislature could change that anytime they want to?
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Berger, absolutely on both counts. The major difference between that and this is that the co-chair's budget allocated those exact dollars that we said we were going to allocate. And so it doesn't require cutting anything in the co-chair's budget or cutting anything in the general fund budget in order to get to that $139 million that we said we're going to lock away for the rainy day fund. That is the clear difference here, because neither the governor's budget nor the co-chair's budget has dollars available without making cuts to them to get to the dollars that are outlined in House Bill 3535.
Mr. Chairman, if you see this line of it,
yes.
Yeah. My point is well taken. Future legislatures can do what they want. So making a dedication does mean something in terms of saying this is how this legislature views this in terms of its importance as a dedicated source. And I would submit to you that the proof of it is our rainy day fund. It makes a clear statement to people that this is something that this legislature values enough to dedicate. I would also submit to you that from my reading the co-chair's budget, it is not 100 troopers. It's more like 85 new troopers that are actually funded by way of that. That is inadequate to me. And while it's easy to say, oh, we got to have new funding, it's also a matter of how this legislature allocates the funds within our existing budget. And that is not yet set in stone. And I think what these, particularly 3535 and these others speak to, including the one that I just sponsored and moved on, is let's make a clear statement in this budget of where we think there should be dedicated funding. And I think that's what these speak to. And it is not a wasted effort, and it does not require new money. It requires a clear statement of where our priorities are. And I will again reiterate, Mr. Chair, that my name is on every one of these bills because this is top priority for me and for a lot of the folks in this state. So I'm waiting for the one with your name on it, Representative Hunt.
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, stay tuned. I would agree with you if you buy the argument that there is plenty of money available already without any additional new revenue. I think that's a legitimate argument to make. I would just like to see the list of the specific cuts, either in the co-chair's budget or the governor's budget, that would free up the dollars in order to make these investments. Because I would agree, the troopers allocated in the co-chair's budget are not adequate. And I'm willing to support revenue in order to increase the pot so we do have enough money to fund new troopers without playing it off against schools or healthcare. That is the fundamental challenge, I think, of House Bill 3535, is it says there's plenty of money and we're going to allocate it here without saying, I support cutting this program, I support cutting this program in order to free up the money to do so.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Representative Hunt. We appreciate your testimony.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Olson.
I guess kind of a comment, and I can share this from my own personal experience. Ever since 1980, or following years after that, it seems like there has always been such a competition for general fund dollars from the Oregon State Police for their involvement. And as a result of it, they have always slowly been declining. I mean, I know that from personal experience. My question to you is, has there ever been, because you've been in the legislature a little longer than I have been, has there ever been history of our legislature where they've had a 20% increase in general revenue dollars?
Excellent question, Mr. Chair, Representative Olson. I would think, actually, the chair of the Revenue Committee is probably a better expert than those. I don't know about the specific 20%, but clearly the volatile swings that our revenue system, our revenue system and our economy take have resulted in dramatic. I mean, we just experienced a drop of, I think, 22% in my first session in the legislature, which is then followed by an increase of 20%. The challenge is, if it were a consistent growth pattern and then a 20% increase in revenue, that would actually be real money. When a 20% growth in revenue follows a 22% drop in revenue, it's difficult to fill all the holes that are left. State troopers being prominent among them.
Representative Gosar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hunt, you've been here longer than I have as well. And I'm wondering, during the uptick in the 1990s when we had more money flowing into the state coffers, how did the state troopers fare in the general fund budget at that time while the general fund was growing steadily?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gelser, there. I mean, it's amazing if you look back over the last 15 to 20 years, there's just a clear... It's not just like it all dropped in one year. There's just a clear cut after cut after cut of state troopers when revenue was up, when revenue was down. And I think that's what really makes the case for getting it out of the general fund is when it's been in the general fund, where when the revenue has been up, troopers have been cut. When revenue has been down, troopers have been cut. By keeping it in the general fund, I fear we're gonna continue that pattern. I think we need to actually identify the money. And I am very open, whether it's new revenue that's really new money on the table, or whether it's specific cuts within the existing budget that therefore create new dollars, actual dollars, without just saying we'll find something to cut later. I think either of those. But ultimately, we're then going to have to get back to, I think, referencing what Representative Berger said earlier, ultimately, we're probably going to have to lock something in the Constitution. I personally believe we're going to need to lock what we did in the Rainy Day Fund in the Constitution. Hopefully, we'll have the will this session to follow through on the commitment we made, and the co-chair's budget does follow through on the commitment related to the ending fund balance. But ultimately, in order to bind future legislatures on the ending fund balance or state troopers, we are going to need to lock it in the Constitution.
Thank you. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hunt, you've made an interesting statement here that there's been cut after cut after cut. So in your opinion, you believe that actually we've been funding the Division of State Police less and less and less money over the last 5 to 10 biennia, and we've actually had a decrease in the total personnel and the state troopers and the total state police division. Is that what you're saying?
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Butler, if you look back at least at the last 8 biennia, I haven't looked carefully back beyond that, at least at the last 8 biennia, in terms of the authorized positions within OSP, and these are trooper positions actually out on the road, which I think is the best comparable position to use, we have had cut after cut after cut that has gone year after year. I mean, the most recent cut was in the 2005 legislative session, where we cut an additional 20 positions.
Clarification, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
And I see there's a graph here, but I want to know about the total Division of State Police, because from the legislative standpoint, really the only place that the cut after cut after cut takes place is amongst the division head itself, the superintendent of state police, in conjunction with the governor of the state of Oregon. The legislature appropriates the money, and my hope is that you're not telling us that we're appropriating less and less and less money for less and less and less total number of personnel in the division of state police.
Well, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Butler, I have not watched as carefully the total number of personnel in any other category within public safety. I can tell you, specific to state troopers, and it's outlined very specifically in the budgets we vote on each biennium, the number of state troopers that the budgets that we are adopting authorize, and it is very specifically, I remember vividly opening up the budget proposal 2 years ago and it says very clearly, this budget results in the reduction of 20 patrol officers on the state highways. And that was not true just for that biennium. That was true biennium after biennium after biennium.
Mr. Chair, I just would say this, that I recall in, I believe it was in the 2001 session, we allocated more money for actual troopers on the road, and we were told by the governor of the state and that he was the chief executive operating officer of the state, and that between he and the superintendent, they would decide whether or not that money would go for additional state police or state troopers, or whether it may go for administrative positions. So I'd want to have some sort of a history there if we were going to get into that kind of debate.
I think we're going to hear more about it as we go along, and there are some information for that. And I'll take as many questions as you want, but we do have 19 witnesses
to be heard. Mr. Chair, I would like the point made, since I was looking at the same chart that has certainly been offered here, and I guess we could go back to 1979-81, but it's a pointless argument. I think that a more appropriate thing would be to look at that chart and talk about 1991-93 was the implementation of Measure 5, and I don't think there's any question that had a huge impact on state budget, and we dropped it from 480 to 392 troopers. Yep. During the 90s, all the way up to the 99-01, we gained troopers. A little, not perhaps enough, but the numbers go up from 392 to 397 during those biennia. Then it starts to drop precipitously, and I would tell you that that's in conjunction with the recent downturn. We weren't funding anything in the last few biennia. And so I would say that there have been changes going on that have led to this crisis. You can point to lots of things that have been reasons for it. The point I would like to make is time to get out of it. It's time to say we are going to make a commitment to funding more troopers and get these troopers back. We can sit here and play the blame game and the number game forever, but it's time for these 19 people to come up here and tell us how we're going to get these troopers back on the road.
Thank you. Did you want to respond to that? Thank you, Representative Berger. Thank you, Representative Hunt. We appreciate your testimony. And as I indicated, we do have a lot of witnesses today. With the amount of time we have, if people hold their remarks to 2.5 or 3 minutes each, if we can accomplish that, that would be greatly appreciated. If you find that you're saying the same thing that previous witnesses said, if you'll simply note that you are in agreement, that would be also useful. And I'd like to hear first from the three sheriffs who have signed up to be heard on this bill, Sheriff Dotson, Sheriff Berger, and Sheriff Ramirez.
Fourth sheriff.
Oh, and bring your fourth.
He looks like a sheriff.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, it may be appropriate for the sheriffs of the counties to also tell us what may perhaps be the additional cuts in the ONC monies may portend for them.
Well, and I think that's appropriate. But it is a different topic, so if we can keep it brief, that would be helpful. Gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Raul Ramirez, Marion County Sheriff, Salem, Oregon, and I'm also president of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today in reference to the many bills that you have before you in funding the Oregon State Police. I've been a member of the Marion County Sheriff's Office for 31 years, and as such, have seen the reductions in the Oregon State Police. Certainly the Salem Patrol Office is the one that directly supported us, but we also as sheriffs see reductions across the state. I know that the legislature is committed to safety and security of Oregonians. I'm here to testify in support of you providing stable, dedicated funding to provide that level of support that Oregonians are requesting from the legislature for state police to reflect that presence out throughout the state of Oregon. So as such, you have 18 more members to testify. Again, I'm here in support of stable, dedicated funding to the Oregon State Police.
Thank you. Chair Berger, sorry.
Thank you. Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. My name is Russ Berger. I'm the sheriff from Lane County. I have the unique perspective of having been an employee of the Oregon State Police. Prior to joining the sheriff's office, I was the station commander in Springfield. At the time, Representative Olson was the station commander in the Albany Patrol Office, and we both had the experience of laying off numerous people. I laid off 17 people. This was from an organization that had already been decimated over the years, as you know, with reductions in the patrol force. The agency has not recovered from that. Today, there are 14 state troopers assigned to the Springfield Patrol Office. Lane County is roughly the size of Connecticut. It's got 15 state and interstate highways running through that that county. And so they're not a 24-hour operation. Sheriff's Office, at the same time, has minimal staffing as well. We run 2 to 3 deputies per shift to cover this entire county. With regards to secure rural schools, Representative Butler, if we lose the federal timber proceeds, it's going to be a huge hit to Lane County. It's about $20 million from the general fund, another $20 million from the road fund, and about $7 million gets passed through in Title I to the schools as well. The strict translation of that is 150 employees for the sheriff's office, about 300 for the county.
Excuse me, Sheriff, those are the annual numbers, are they not?
That's 150 people that I would have to lay off just from my
right.
agency.
But the numbers you gave us are annual rather than biannual numbers.
Correct, okay. 20 yes. million per year.
Right, thank you.
That's correct. So what that means, one gentleman before me spoke about the cuts years before in the counties. In Lane County in 1982, there were huge budget cuts, but at that time there were lots of state troopers. There were about 50 in Eugene and another 20 in Cottage Grove. So what the sheriff at that time did was he parked all the patrol cars. The state police completely took over the patrol function for Lane County during that low budget time. Today they've only got 14 troopers, as I indicated. If we lose the federal funding, which is still in jeopardy right now, we don't have the option of closing down the patrol function because there are no state troopers to fill that void. So we have to keep the patrol function, which means the other side of the equation gets nailed, and that's the jail beds. We will eliminate all but 48 jail beds for local offenders. To put that in perspective for you, we had 96 offenders in jail for Measure 11 crimes last month. That's robbery, rape, murder, kidnap, assault, all those kind of things. So we won't have even enough local jail beds to keep the worst of the worst. And if there aren't enough deputies and there aren't enough troopers to respond to the 911 calls, we're going to be in a very serious situation. So I'm here today as well to ask you to find dedicated funding for the state police. My very first conversation with Chair Barnhart when I was with the state police, we had a conversation about dedicated funding. It was about 8 years ago. And so the problem started a long time ago. It's only going to get worse. And so, and I'll close by saying the Oregon State Police is an outstanding police agency. They set the standard for the state of Oregon. And as citizens of this state, we need to embrace that organization and get them the kind of funding that they need to provide the services that the citizens expect and deserve. Thank you.
Thank you.
And good afternoon, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. My name is Dennis Dodson, for the record, and I'm the Lincoln County Sheriff. In 1972, the Oregon State Police hired me, and 28 years that followed, I served the citizens of Oregon and people who visited the state as a trooper and retired as a lieutenant, area commander for the Newport Station. In that period of time, I saw the build-up and decline of the membership of the Oregon State Police in patrol. When I assumed the command of the Newport office in Lincoln County, in 1987, there were 20 patrol troopers that I was responsible for. Today, there are 5. I won't repeat what, or try not to repeat what you've heard from others. Chair Barnhart, you made a comment at the very beginning that you were hoping that possibly some of the people that are going to speak might offer some additional information that would be helpful. Some things to consider that you've no doubt thought about. The safety and security of our men and women who wear the uniforms. When they respond to a call and there is a need, there's a reported violence, it's important that these people feel or know, actually more than feel, but know, that there is backup that's a reasonable distance away to protect them as well. The Oregon State Police have been dealing with situations where oftentimes the troopers are out there by themselves and even the sheriff's offices are unable to provide any type of backup. This undermines the very moral fiber of your police force, your police department, sheriff's office, whatever it may be. The training that's involved, hiring 100, 200, 300 troopers, it'll be 3 to 5 years before these people truly come into their own. The force has been decimated. It will take many years to rebuild the skill level that existed with the Oregon State Police in the 1980s and into the 1990s. It will take a decade or more. I would estimate. So it's very, very important that the sustained, adequate funding be identified for the Oregon State Police to serve the citizens of this state. After all, the Oregon State Police is the legislature's police department. Stop and think about that. Many of the things that the legislature has required of the Oregon State Police over the decades, the legislature has obviously had great expectations that they would provide the services. That's their go-to agency. It's time now that to show them once again that you've been very sincere and that you're with your support. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tearing the place up. Sheriff Mike Winters, Jackson County. I'm a staunch supporter of Oregon State Police. I was a city police officer starting in 1981. I was a state police officer in 84 to 98. And speaking to what Sheriff Dotson had said, I've been that trooper. I've had two experiences, and I won't go into detail, but when they told me that my backup was an hour and 10 minutes away, and it was 3-on-1 in both of those instances, I don't think that that's the way we should be doing business. I think Oregon should be ashamed of what we've let happen to the Oregon State Police and such. And down, just to give you a little concept of what we have down in Jackson County, in the early 80s, we had 40 troopers assigned to that office, and we had 45 sheriff's officers. So we had 90 people covering 2,800 square miles down there. Then there was cutbacks. The sheriff's office went from 45 to 8, and state police, when I left in 98, there was 9 of us. It was not uncommon for me to run from the Oregon-California border to Canyonville, which is 100 miles, north and south, and it was not uncommon to cover from 199 California state line up to Crater Lake. I was out there by myself. There was times where, and I was the only car working late at night till 6 in the morning. That is ludicrous. We should never let that happen. A lot of these folks don't complain. I mean, you're not going to see state police officers complain about it. They do their job. And I don't think that they do enough to sell their story personally. And I think that's partly why we're where we're at. Because they've just gone out and done what you've asked them to do. And they maybe haven't fought hard enough. I think that you should go on ride-alongs with them. I think that you should get out there with your sheriff's office. I think you need to experience it. As I was sitting in the back right now in Ashland, we have a man that is holding his wife or girlfriend, a significant other, at gunpoint with a shotgun. Now, what does that do? Well, we have Ashland PD there, Jackson County SO. Talent is having to come down there. There may or may not be a state police officer, but why we need to have these staffing numbers is because we need to have enough folks when we're handling major emergencies or a disaster or something of that sort that we can backfill and handle other calls. Our taps are never off. We handle 42,000 cases a year with 38 deputies. You know, it's just kind of got out of control. So we need to support our state police. Representative Berger, I like your passion. I hope that you keep that. If you ever need a pep talk, give me a call, because I'm as passionate about it as well. And I think if we look at it also from a monetary standpoint, if we look at the fact that a fatality costs us $987,000, and that you can back up through the National Institute of Traffic. Every fatality, and I can speak to Jackson County, we had 45 when we started our traffic team, and we knocked the numbers down to about 28 or 30 last year. So that's saved $15 million, $15 to $17 million. That's big numbers. If you multiply that statewide, there's a good reason to have state police officers out there. You know, there's a lot of monetary, you know, public safety, you can't really put a number on it. And if you want people to come here and enjoy Oregon, you need to take care of them when they're here. So I think we need to staff them. If there's anything that I can do down at my end of the state to assist you in any way, shape, or form, please ask. And I think that's all I need to say.
Thank you very much. Questions for this panel?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Just quickly, Sheriff Berger indicated that he'd be down in excess of 100 employees as a result of the cuts in the federal forest monies. That's pretty severe. If that's what we're looking at, and we have this this huge reduction in the state police as well, I don't know where you get it. Does it come from your jails? Is that where is that the accordion that has to start taking it up?
Because we don't have enough deputy sheriffs to cover all the handle all the calls for service. We can't cut our patrol force. What ends up happening, as I explained, is we close jail beds in our system. More and more offenders are out in the community committing crime, which places an even larger burden on the patrol folks that are out there that are right now going call to call to call. They'll start going from call to call to call, only it'll be a higher priority incident than what they've been experiencing.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just a comment here, Mr. Chairman. I don't think that we can allow any longer in this state our state police to be in a situation where they have to wait a half hour to an hour for backup. It's a position that I certainly would not want to be put in. I don't imagine there's any one of us here that would ever want to have our lives at stake knowing that the closest backup at a minimum is a half hour away. Mr. Chairman, we've got to put an end to this.
Thank you, Representative Witt. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, can I make one more comment?
Yes, please.
I just recently closed 100 jail beds myself for this exact reason. We had to cut $2 million back, and it came out of the jail bed side. We are doing the exact same thing. We're going call to call to call, and we need that help. I would also have you think about the fact with the legislature and all the good work they did on methamphetamine, the reduction of meth labs within the state was down 75%, as we all know. It has not stopped the meth, and that meth is coming in through Mexico. I-5 is the main north-south pipeline, and it is going through here in hundreds of pounds shipments back and forth, up and down. There's not enough police officers out there working drug interdictions and working these different things to curb that kind of problem. We just, David Friday, had someone run from 21-pound transport of meth or marijuana in Jackson County on a state police stop. So it's hitting you from every side. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, while they're leaving, let me put on the record that I am not related to Sheriff Berger. We share the same interest in law enforcement.
Thank you.
I spell my last name incorrectly, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate your testimony. I'm going to take next people who indicated that they're coming from more than 100 miles away to make certain that we get them in today. I'm beginning to realize we're going to be very short on time. Mayor Diane Pohl, Ray Pohl, Dan Withers. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Bernhard, and thank you, committee, for allowing me this time. My name is Mayor Diane Pohl. I'm mayor of Clatskanie, Oregon, and I am one of the from one of the rural areas that you were talking about that's going to experience, has experienced and will experience an even further reduction in law enforcement because of the replacement ONC funds. Our sheriff has said that if those funds do not come through from the federal government, we will have no road patrol at all. We're down to 4 deputies, 10 to 10, and that's it. It falls, and you have my written testimony in front of you, so I won't go through it, but as a mayor, we have a 5 member police department. We now have a dog to complement that, but we have 5. Our budget is over 60% of our budget goes to our police department. So I am testifying in favor of House Bill 3535 because I think 1% of your budget, if we have to pay 60% of our budget, is not asking a lot to have stable and dedicated funding, and I agree with Representative Butler about that funding be dedicated funding and be stable funding. my problem with my officers is that they cannot, and our council has said they cannot leave the city to go on to be first on a call. They can go as backup. We have all kinds of agreements to go as backup, but to put our officers out into the county with no backup at all is just too dangerous for those folks. We do have a state highway, Highway 30, running through our city. That's a main highway for drug trafficking from Portland to Astoria, and also from Longview to Astoria. And to give you an example of if you think the folks are ready for law enforcement, we went to our people. We got an idea to get a drug dog, and I looked at the city budget, and okay, it wasn't going to happen. So I said, let's go to the folks. So we went, we started an Adopt-a-Canine program in Clatskanie area. And we said, if you folks want to do this, we can get a dual-trained drug and police dog. In 2 months, our people raised $32,000. We have a top-notch program, and that program now is going to spread into a foundation we're starting to try to supply other small communities with drug dogs. The people are wanting the law enforcement. We can no longer run with just minimal, maybe, law enforcement. We have to have the funding. I recently had an opportunity to sit through some law enforcement training just for law enforcement officers for 3 days. One of the courses was training the officers to do traffic stops. And I can tell you, the imminent danger that our officers are in on a one-to-one basis, stopping a car in the middle of the night on a lonesome highway by themselves, is incredibly insane. To not have any backup is even more insane. The majority of us are not willing or able to put on the badge and shoulder that kind of responsibility, but by golly, we can support those who are. And so I am fully in support of House Bill 3535 as a major step in accomplishing this. And I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
I'm Ray Pohl, mayor's wife or husband. In my past, I have worked with sheriff's offices, officer departments as a reserve, also a current member, a posse member with Columbia County. And back in the 70s, you could make traffic stops without a whole lot of concern or worry. But with today's society and the drugs that are coming from Mexico and the people that are protecting their drugs, it's a whole different world today than it was 20 years ago. When I can drive from Longview, Washington to Portland and see more Washington State Patrol officers than driving from Portland to the California border, there is definitely something wrong with our system. So I'm here to support House Bill 3535. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Withers.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. My name is Dan Withers. I'm from Roseburg. I'm a graduate of Portland State University. I'm a retired school teacher, coach, high school administrator, and also a college coach and teacher. I am also the proud father of two Oregon State police troopers. And
congratulations.
Thank you. Listening to some of the stories by those sheriffs, but, you know, I'm living it now as a parent, and the boys are living it as troopers. I want to start by saying, you know, obviously years ago I learned a good speech. The qualities of good speech is a good beginning, a good ending, and having them close together. But bear with me, I have a lot of passion built up on this subject. You see, I've been lobbied by the toughest lobby group on the planet. And also, over the years, I might add that I've coached baseball in most every town in the state. Or close to it, it seems like. But I had to lobby against that tough group they call baseball umpires. And I also was lobbied by the second toughest group, and that's mothers who thought their son and daughter should be in the starting lineup. So you guys don't have it all that tough up here.
Getting on a more serious situation and subject, I'm also the I'm also part of an indirect situation of a drunk driver victim, if you want to call it. My brother had six children, five girls and a boy. Before one horrendous night was over, the remaining four children had no mother, and they were missing two dead sisters. They were hit by a drunk driver that had previous DUI records. The one-year-old that was in the car lived through it, another daughter. Now, obviously, 24/7 OSP troopers on Oregon highways will not guarantee this will not happen to you or your neighbors, but it sure increases the chances it may not. I want to, before I read my testimony, I'd like to thank some people, and in particular, all Republicans, Democrats, and Independents who are supporting this budget buffet, which is unheard of for the state police. And I lived through some lean times as a teacher and a coach, but this is wonderful news, and hopefully something will get resolved before it's over.
Thank you very much.
Is that too much time?
Well, we have your written testimony in front of us. If there are one or two points you'd like to make certain we emphasize, that would be very helpful. But there are a number of people behind you, and we have less than 20 minutes for the rest of our testimony today. And I apologize.
That's all right.
That we don't have more time.
I want to thank several people before I go. One is Representative Esquivel, Hannah, and Doug Whitsitt, but also I would be very remiss if I didn't thank three wonderful ladies who have been instrumental in inspiring me as a citizen and as a parent to stay involved in pursuing this, and that is Representative Boone, Senator Gordley, and Betsy Johnson, Senator Betsy Johnson. They've been instrumental, and hopefully we'll see this thing through. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. I'm going to continue calling people from some distance away. Phyllis Wilson, Mike Winters, and do we have anyone else who's from more than 100 miles away who'd like to testify today? Please come forward. And did I call Mike Winters?
Mr. Chair, he's already.
He's already testified. Yes, thank you. I'm still working on catching up with the names. And if we have no one else from 100 miles away, I'm going to ask James Duncan to come forward. Go ahead, please. Yes.
Chairman Barnhart, Vice Chairman Butler, and Vice Chairman Reed, who is not here, other members of the committee. I represent the Oregon State Grange, and we are the sponsor of HB 2955, which is dedicated funding for the Oregon State Police. The Oregon State Grange was established in 1873. We currently have a membership of 7,000 people in about 200 urban and rural communities. HB 2955 is the result of our delegate action at the 2006 annual Oregon State Grange Convention. We are seeking a return to dedicated funding in the general fund budget for the Oregon State Police. And we are asking that these dedicated funds be stated as a percentage of the general fund budget. We are also asking for revisions to ORS 291 to enact a law which would return OSP funding to its pre-1980 percentage of funding from all sources. The 1980 census showed Oregon's population to be 2,660,000. The OSP had 641 patrol division troopers. The 2000 census showed Oregon's population to be 3,470,000, representing a 30% increase in population from 1980. Currently, the OSP has just over 300 patrol division troopers, a decrease of nearly 50% from 1980. The OSP cannot fulfill its obligation to protect the public, save lives, and provide emergency response when the number of its troopers has been mutilated over the years. Oregon seems to be going backwards instead of forwards in protecting its citizens. In a survey last fall of 49 states, Oregon ranked last in ratio of state troopers per 100,000 population served. By adding 139 troopers, we can raise this dismal and embarrassing ranking to at least 38. The public expects and deserves police protection on a 24/7 basis. At the present time, there is no 24/7 patrol coverage anywhere on the 7,500 miles of state and interstate highways under the responsibility of the Oregon State Police. With so many counties in our state facing loss of revenue because of the failure to reauthorize the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act, law enforcement agencies are terminating deputies because of this revenue loss. The door is opened even wider for the criminals to inflict their wantonness on our citizens. What a prime opportunity this offers for the ever-increasing drug traffic slime and other heartless lowlife just waiting to inflict their hostility on our citizens. There is no doubt the OSP will be needed ever more than ever, to protect our citizens, their homes, their businesses, and their property. Each of you was elected by your supporters to help raise the standards of your community, county, and state. By providing dedicated funding for the Oregon State Police, you will be doing your part to fulfill your campaign promises. Oregon State Grange members are sending an urgent plea to each of you to approve HB 2955. The passage of HB 2955 will assure that every citizen is provided as safe a living environment as possible. And my 2 cents worth on the end of this, as of 11:30 this morning in Coos County, 39 sheriff deputies have lost their jobs. We are now down to 8 sheriff deputies, and 3 more of those will be lost by June 30th. That only leaves 5 deputies in the county of Coos. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Officer Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try to be brief and read quickly. I did not make a copy for you, but I'll leave it with somebody to make copies for
you. Thank
you
very much.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to address you today. My name is James Duncan. I'm a senior trooper with the Oregon State Police assigned to the 12th Patrol Office. I'm here today to ask for your continued support for House Bill 3535, a light at the end of a dark tunnel for the Oregon State Police and troopers all around the state who have been begging for salvation for over 25 years. I'm specifically here today to speak to you not just about how difficult it is to be a state trooper, working alone on the busiest section of I-5 in Oregon, or how reactive to tragedy the state police have become due to low manpower, or why I do the job because I feel I make a difference. I'm here to talk to all of you about how you can save lives. This is my daughter, Madison, and I brought her here today not to prey upon your sympathies, although if that works in my favor, that's okay as well.
Use what you have.
I actually brought her here with me today as my moral support, not just because I'm a nervous public speaker, but because she is the point of why I'm speaking with you, the reason I do the job that I do. Madison is my pride and joy, the apple of my eye, and the reason I work as hard as I do day in and day out. But she is also someone much more important. She is the future of Oregon, a future astronaut, a doctor, lawyer, teacher. She's a future student, and something of particular interest to all of you is she's a future voter. But she's also a future leader in Oregon and a future driver of Oregon highways. This means should the future of the Oregon State Police continue down the road it is on right now, she's a potential victim of the many crimes and tragedies that occur on Oregon highways daily. It's no secret that many troopers like me advise their friends and family not to drive on Oregon highways after 2 a.m. This is because after that hour, there are few, if any, state troopers patrolling on any highways anywhere in the state, and it becomes a much more dangerous place to be. I began my career with OSP in 1998, and at that time there were 9 troopers, 2 sergeants, 1 lieutenant, and 1 office manager assigned to 12th. And today there are 5 troopers and 1 sergeant remaining. In 1998, when I was just a brand new recruit, a gap analysis, which is a study determining the number of troopers it would take to reasonably cover my patrol area, determined that over 150 to 200,000 vehicles of all types flow through just over 15 miles of Interstate 5 on any given day, and that it would take 15 to 20 troopers to cover that area 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I can tell you based on my experience from daily work, the number of cars of all types in my patrol area has increased, and not just by a little, but a lot. I would say almost exponentially. Rush hour in 1998 started at 5 p.m. and ended nearly promptly at 6 to 6:30 p.m. And today, rush hour is even more hectic and gridlocked from roughly 4 p.m. and doesn't even begin to taper down until 7. In the past several years, during the continued downsizing of my department, I have routinely reported my shift as a lone trooper patrolling my area from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. At first, I felt a little guilty when I was taking off my duty belt and parking my patrol car. Nightly drunk drivers were just getting started with their criminal activity, potentially killing someone as they travel to their destinations. Now it's just a sad fact that I've come to accept nightly and pray does not happen to an innocent person. Over the years, I've listened as the words public safety were banded around and watched as the state police was used as a political football during election cycles. During that time, I want you to know I didn't become bitter or begin to distrust our elected officials. I didn't change the way I work as a police officer, and I didn't decide to move into a different career or even a different police agency. I stayed loyal to the Oregon State Police because I believe in our mission. I believe that every day I report to work that I make a difference, that maybe I can change someone's outcome during a traumatic incident for the better, and that maybe I have saved a life. With the introduction of House Bill 3535, I see the most support for restoring my beleaguered department than any other idea that has come along in years. Does it solve all the problems or go far enough? Probably not. But it comes close as more than just a good start. It would potentially restore my office to what it was in 1998 and give me the relief that I have been begging for. It would mean that I would not have to patrol alone, that Madison's dad is just a little bit safer. I would have a cover officer close by. I could proactively detect and deter crime on Oregon highways. It'd mean we could make a bigger difference in the lives of Oregon's future, like Madison's. It would restore my hope that Madison would, in the future, be driving on safer roadways. So I ask all of you to do your best to see that this bill becomes law in Oregon. When it does, it won't just mean that the Oregon State Police will potentially be saving lives. It will mean that all of you have made a difference. All of you have potentially saved a trooper's life, perhaps mine. And all of you, not just maybe, but will have saved lives. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
My name is Randy Sanders. I'm a restaurant owner of a very busy Chicago eatery in Columbia County. I've gathered some of my friends who are all restaurant owners or are business leaders and owners in Columbia County. I've taken my day off to come here. I'll get right to the point. They wanted me to read their names and their parties. I will refrain from doing that because I know the time constraints. The point I want to illustrate is these are Democrats, Republicans, Constitution Party members, independents, libertarians, I mean everything but communists. I have never seen more support, more support for a bill amongst all party affiliates. Quite frankly, I find the fact that we don't have 24-hour coverage in the state of Oregon appalling, surreal. I think it's disturbing that we sit here even discussing this. As business leaders, we feel you can do this, and you can do it without any more taxes. Funding, proper funding of the troopers is the foundation, should be the foundation of this budget. Everything beyond that is really not a priority. Let's get this done first. 5 years ago, I was involved in a traffic accident. I was hit head-on by a kid who was on methamphetamine for 3 days. He told my attorney in a deposition that he frequently buys and sells methamphetamine on Pittsburgh Road, the back roads of Yankton. It's in Columbia County. Because, quote-unquote, there ain't no cops back there. I'd like to see an end to that. And I would like to echo what this trooper said. These guys work hard. I rode with a trooper about 2 months ago. He pulled over a suspect and wanted to search the car. He was a suspect possibly having drugs on him, methamphetamine. It was an area that's frequented by methamphetamine people. And had to wait a while till he got backup. The backup was a Rainier cop, and that officer was the only officer on duty. He had things to do, and so the story goes. Please, let's get this done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We appreciate your testimony today. I'm going to start down my list. If there are those who I call who are regularly in the building and can come back at another time, I would appreciate your letting me know that. Ralph Himmelsbach, Dennis Moyer, Dennis, is it Dobbin? Dotson, excuse me. Come forward, please.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Jess Dotson was one of the sheriffs at the very beginning.
I'm sorry. I'm still catching up with sheriffs. Thank you. And Greg Wilford. Yes, sir. Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ralph Himmelsbach. I'm a retired FBI agent. I also worked for 5 years for the Oregon Attorney General. I've been an instructor with and I've worked with the Oregon State Police since 1962. And I have found it always to be an excellent organization, very dedicated, very high-performing, and unequaled in reputation anywhere else in law enforcement. And what has happened to this organization because of the lack of funding has been appalling to me and to everybody I know, and I speak with other people all the time who know of my background, and we talk about this all the time. We don't feel as safe anymore as we used to, and the situation can only get worse with increasing crime. I just echo almost all of the comments that have been made by the other witnesses, and I've said my piece. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Andy Moyer. I am the Vice President of the Oregon State Police Officers Association, as well as a patrol division trooper assigned at St. Helens Work Site in Columbia County. Members of the committee, 112 people in Oregon have died since you've been in session in traffic crashes in this state. The leading cause of death for Oregon's children is traffic crashes. In fact, the leading cause of death for all people ages 3 to 33 is not that of disease or murder, it's of dying in a traffic crash. The next time you see a child, ask yourself this question: what can I do as a legislator to ensure that this child grows up to become an adult? The answer is to drive the crash rate down, and to do that, we need more troopers. And we need more troopers for years to come. In the past 27 years, there have been 14 legislative sessions, 5 governors. There have been Democrats and Republicans in charge of both the House and the Senate. Members of the committee, this is not a Democrat or a Republican problem. This is an Oregon problem. House Bill 35 has the most bipartisan support than any other OSP funding proposal. A total of 51 co-sponsors. 6 co-sponsors are on this committee. House Bill 3535, along with the other proposed bills, 3422, and the other ones, create a separate fund. What that fund would do is prevent across-the-board cuts that are done when you aren't in session, which is where a lot of our cuts have done when poor revenue forecasts have come in. I ask the 2007 Oregon Legislature, along with this committee, on this issue alone, to stop being a legislator from a party and stand up on your own, become a statesman and a representative, make the safety of the road-traveling public, the children, our citizens, and the visitors to this state a top priority. I ask this committee to give us the tools we need to complete our mission. Not a random number of additional troopers to say you did it, but a stable funding mechanism which allows for OSP to grow without the fear that they won't be able to hire the additional troopers, just like what happened in 1999. 100 troopers were authorized, only 25 of those positions were ever filled and hired. Pass this legislation without the fear that OSP will shrink the next time that the legislature meets, but with the knowledge that the legislature has joined together to take care of a public safety crisis, not just this session, but for the future, so the state police can grow to its numbers where they once were. Only then will we see less crashes, less deaths, less injuries, and only then can the legislature dust their hands and say, job well done. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Greg Williford. I'm with the Department of Oregon State Police representing the superintendent's office today. And I can give you some of the agency's perspective on the bills that you have before you. I can be very succinct. The agency's interests are essentially stable and dedicated funding, which allows the agency to restore a visible and consistent presence out on Oregon's state and interstate highways. If there's going to be any type of chance to have significant impacts on narcotics trafficking and on crash reduction, the most serious crashes, you've got to have a stable and consistent presence out there so that motorists know that if they have trouble, there's someone nearby, and also they don't act out as much and use the state to further criminal enterprises because they know we're out there. Other states, Washington and others, where they have a more visible presence, that has been demonstrated, and I think most people's driver behavior, they know that. When they enter in the state of Washington, they slow down because they expect to see a trooper. From the agency's perspective, is essentially stable and dedicated funding. At the end of the day, it is this body that is responsible to come up with the solutions to that. We stand prepared as an agency with a long history and a very proud history to demonstrate very clearly to you the value of any investments that are currently in the budget today and any future investments that you, as a policy matter, decide to make in the agency. We're very excited about that. We have new leadership in the agency, and we stand very ready to talk with you during this session, during the interim, and during future sessions to show you the public value that will be created by investments in the Department of State Police and all across the agency. Patrol Division, of course, is one of the several services we provide, but we stand ready to do that and to demonstrate the public value in that. I think you've seen in today's testimony that we are blessed with strong partnerships, and that is something we take very seriously. The support that we have from law enforcement and from our partners is not taken lightly, and we will continue to work very collaboratively in partnership with them, county by county, to make sure that we are getting the best deployment of resources that we can do, respecting each other's identified roles and primary purposes. So with that, I'll just be available to answer any questions.
Thank you. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a question for Andy. And first, I wanted to thank you for just your passion for this issue, which is absolutely unmatched, and I've enjoyed our conversation. We've talked about a couple of different potential ideas for dedicated funding. Earlier in the session, there was conversation about a beer tax. And now with Hospital 3535 being the 1% of the general fund, one of the questions that I have and concerns that I have, with the general fund being so unstable, what in Hospital 3535 would protect the state police in a time of economic downturn? If we're in a recession like we were over the last couple of biennia, why would 1% of a general fund that sometimes goes up and sometimes goes down be more secure than, say, a dedicated beer tax or something dedicated from the lottery, as in the bill that we forwarded a little bit earlier today?
Chair Representative Gelser, in a study done by our department, if we looked at past sessions, if House Bill 3535 or a 1% dedication of the general fund were in place in past sessions, first of all, in 1999, the legislature authorized 100 new positions. If that was in a separate fund, those positions didn't get filled because of across-the-board cuts in mid-session. by the governor's office, or a bad revenue forecast, so he does across the board cuts to all general fund agencies. This fund would be separate than the general fund. It would be deposited into the Oregon State Police Patrol Division fund. Therefore, those across the board cuts wouldn't take place. So those 100 positions would have been filled. Second, in the 2003 session, that's when our layoffs occurred. Most of the layoffs occurred because of the across-the-board cuts that happened at the end of the 2001-03 session, not the beginning of the 2003 session. We did see a slight decline. The only time that there would have been a decline in general fund dollars would have been the 2003 session, and calculated we would have only lost 39 positions. We could have taken care of that mostly through attrition, so we would not have laid off any state troopers. So will we always not be able to gain additional troopers or maybe lose if there's a recession? Probably not. But the amount would be a lot less and a lot lower, but we could probably handle it through attrition or close to that, to where we wouldn't have to lay off state troopers, and it would be easier for us to recover that next biennium.
Could I follow up
on
the final question? So in a year like the year with the many special sessions, that money would be allocated before the legislative session ended. So were there multiple mid-cycle reductions, the actual percentage of the general fund in terms of what's actually spent in that biennium could then end up exceeding 1% of general fund expenditures for that biennium if the special session comes back in or the governor makes mid-session across-the-board reductions?
Chair Representative Gilser, what this does is it deposited 1% of the revenue forecast during session. The only way to take money out of that is you would have to have 31 votes on the House floor, 16 votes on the Senate, and the governor to sign it, how I read the bill. So therefore, correct, it would not, there would be no money taken away in those five special sessions unless you voted to do that. What it does is make state police a top priority. Even in a recession, which is where we need law enforcement the most, crime goes up, and the amount of people drinking and doing illegal narcotics goes up in recession times. It says we're going to make that a priority to where we're not going to lose troopers, lose law enforcement officers in that recession. So, correct, it would not sustain the same amount of cuts.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That's Senator Olson.
Just real quick question, Andy. You don't have to get up here like that. You can just heads up. So, I'm sensing then House Bill 3535, you're seeing that as being dedicated funding?
Yes, we are of the opinion that it is a dedicated funding source. Whether you want to call it prioritizing or earmarking a certain percent, what this protects is, for example, funding could not be taken away while the legislature is not in session. This is when a lot of trooper cuts have taken place over the years. Second, when in session, there would have to be 31 House votes, 16 Senate votes, and a governor's signature to take votes away. So if there's a huge increase in the general fund, 30%, 40% increase, and there's an extra 50, 75 million in the state police account, you could take money, a pot of 10 million of that, to fund another program. And you probably wouldn't see any public outcry. However, if you're going to take money from that account and it's going to cause trooper cuts or trooper layoffs, it's going to be harder for you to bring 31 votes to the floor and 16 and so on with the governor to sign it because of the public outcry that they're going to see troopers lose their jobs and less troopers on the highways. That's why we feel that this is a safe bet. If there's a lot of extra money, take it. If there's not, we don't think that that's going to happen.
Thank you. Representative Wett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Andy, could you give us some kind of idea briefly of the criminal activities that are reserved for the hours of 2 to 6 a.m. when there's no OSP on duty?
Chair Representative Witt, several. Of course, everybody knows that at 2 a.m. that's when most bars close. So that's when our highways become the most dangerous. People are driving home from the bars. That is when the Oregon State Police and most areas around the state are shutting down. Some a lot earlier. Some are shutting down at midnight. Some are shutting down at 10 p.m. In Columbia County, the sheriff's office goes home at 10 p.m., and there will be one trooper on duty from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. to cover the entire county outside the city limits. Also, the Drug Enforcement Administration has also said that in Oregon when we're there moving the drugs up and down I-5, up and down I-84, up and down Highway 97, taking the drugs into the communities, those mules, as they call them, that transporting the drugs from state to state, from country into the United States, know that the state police in Oregon don't have anyone on after 2 a.m. And that's when those people are driving up I-5 with pounds of methamphetamine in their car.
Thank you. Other questions? Gentlemen, thank you very much for your testimony today. Normally the committee adjourns at 10 minutes to 3. I'm informed that there's no committee meeting at 3 o'clock in here. I'm willing to stay for a little bit longer to hear several more witnesses. Some of the committee members will have to leave because they have other matters to attend to very quickly. Randy Sanders, Daryl Gerritsen, Rick Bennett.
I may be the only one, Mr. Chair.
Please, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Daryl Gerritsen. I'm an attorney practicing law with the firm of Gerritsen, Goldberg, Fenwick, and Mackler. Among our clients is the Oregon State Police Officers Association, and I'm the lawyer representing the association in negotiations with the state of Oregon. I'm also a second-generation Oregonian and a former prosecutor, and I'm very familiar with the slow death of the Oregon State Police. As a prosecutor, I can tell you in Yamhill County, we relied quite strongly on the Oregon State Police. That was back when there was, I think, an excess of 20 troopers in the McMinnville office. I believe that number is 7 or 9 at this point. Anyway, I'm here to testify in favor of 3535. I'm going to keep it real short. I do not actually like 3535, but as a lawyer, I'm practical. The votes are there to pass it. It is a bill which so far has not been identified with one particular party. One of the things that unfortunately has happened to Oregon State Police is everybody agrees we should have more troopers. However, when the yellow school buses show up outside and the wheelchairs start coming up the ramps, somehow all the money goes to either education or it goes to one of the various health issues. And Oregon State Police get left with nothing. And unfortunately, while everybody agrees we need more troopers, you guys all fight over how to fund it, and as a result, it never gets funded. So I'm here to beg for you to pass, even though it's a stopgap measure, even though it doesn't fully dedicate, it at least begins a solution. It has bipartisan support, and it so far has not been identified with any particular political party. So I would strongly urge you to push forward 3535. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rick Bennett, Director of Government Relations for AARP Oregon. Just wanted to be there stating that we also support dedicated funding for state troopers. We survey our members on a fairly regular basis, and I have seen over the last couple of years an increased concern related to public safety, and I believe when our members are speaking about that, they're not talking about prisons, they're talking about officers on the street, on the highways. And I signed up on 3535, but I don't think I necessarily have a preference for one bill over the other. I would express some reservation related to a earmark or a certain percentage out of general fund. When I look at the co-chair's budget and I see some of the reductions related to health services and so forth, I would be concerned about another percent being kind of fenced in and where those dollars would be coming from. Thank you.
Thank you. You have other areas of interest in the budget.
Few, yes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. We also have General Ingram, Ralph Broner, Mary Stewart.
Chair,
yes.
On behalf of the 9 divisions within the state police that have not been testified to, which are AFSCME members, I prefer to come in Wednesday if that's possible, and I can keep my name on the existing list. Would that be possible?
Well, are you coming in Wednesday to testify on bills that are up on Wednesday?
Yes, I want to testify on Wednesday. You don't have the time now, and I have 9 divisions in the state police that are my members, and I'd appreciate a few more than 1 minute.
Thank you, but you'll be testifying on bills that are up on Wednesday.
Oh, yes, I will.
Thank you. We'll hear you on Wednesday. Thank you.
Chairman Barnhart and Vice Chair Reed, members of the committee. I'm Mary Stewart, Executive Director of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And I represent pretty much everybody in the room, moms, dads, sisters, brothers, nephews, nieces, aunts, uncles, grandmothers, and grandfathers, people who either are victims and survivors of drunk driving or concerned citizens about the problem that we've got. I'm pretty new, been around since November, and so I've been doing a lot of listening. And you know what I'm hearing is that really one of the priorities is the funding of law enforcement. And I think people are feeling that the importance of that is because there's an actual three-legged stool, and I'm sure you've heard this before. But in order to solve the drunk driving problem, there really has to be a strong three-legged stool. There has to be prevention, there has to be good treatment, and there has to be enforcement. And so I think as you go into your deliberations, I hope you'll remember that idea, that all of those things need to be strong. And I'm here today because law enforcement is a great concern, maybe one of the primary issues of Mothers Against Drunk Driving at this point. Because if you don't have enforcement out there on the road, you're not going to be able to bring the offenders into treatment. So we feel that that is a very, very important concept. We really think it's imperative that the Oregon State Police be fully funded. We like 3535. However, I still have concerns about the funding sustainability that it brings. So I think that considering some of the bills on Wednesday will also, I think, round out the picture of funding, possible funding for the police. But I do encourage and again stress the importance of law enforcement in eliminating drunk driving in Oregon.
Thank you very
much. Yes, are there any questions?
Thank you. Jenna?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jenna Ingram, the Oregon State Chamber of Commerce, representing approximately 70 chambers across the state. In the 30 seconds that remains, I just wanted to let you know that our board of directors has asked me to voice support for House Bill 3535 because it very closely aligns with our legislative platform that was adopted just prior to the legislative session. It's important to the Oregon State Chamber of Commerce that we make our roads safe so that our members can transport their goods. We believe it's good for tourism, good for business. We appreciate the bipartisan cooperation that brought this bill forward, and we encourage its support. I thank you very much.
Thank you. Short and sweet. We appreciate your testimony and your insights. Are there questions for this panel? Thank you, ladies, very much. Steve Buckstein. And Mr. Buckstein, you'll be pleased to know that you're the last witness today.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, I'll be very brief. I have written testimony. I agree with virtually everybody here that we need to fund the Oregon State Police, basically the police powers of the state first. If you read the preamble of the Oregon Constitution, that's what the government's all about. It's protecting our lives, liberty, and property. And I think the problem we've gotten into with perennial quote-unquote cuts in Oregon State Police is that the government has grown way bigger than our founding fathers ever anticipated. We're doing all kind of things that weren't anticipated, and those, in many cases, seem to come first. So I would argue with, I think, almost everybody else here that you should be funding the state police before most of these other things. The one concern I have, and I signed up to testify with a concern on, I think it's HJR 28, the lottery funding. I don't like the idea of funding the state police through the lottery for a couple of reasons. The main one is that it creates a bigger moral hazard. You have one more special interest group, in this case the Oregon State Police, that will be rooting for Oregonians to gamble, so they'll get more money. I'm neutral on gambling. I'm not for or against gambling. I don't think it's a proper function of government. We're dependent on it. The governor has called it an addiction. It'll be more addictive if we fund the Oregon State Police through gambling. So I think we should be funding the Oregon State Police first, everything else second or third, or like the lottery, not at all. I would prefer us actually selling the lottery, and I think it would create a lot of
benefits. The other concern I have about, say, 35-35 and the dedicating a specific percentage of the general fund is that, again, there is no way to know in advance whether 1% is too much or too little. I know it may be heresy to say it could be too much, but I think you, again, if revenue rises as we hope it will, it may be too much. So I think you need, as legislators, to look at the needs of the Oregon State Police, fund that first through the general fund, and again, everything else comes second, third, or in my case, hopefully not at all, that you actually cut back on things that aren't proper functions of government. So with that, I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Are there questions for Steve? We appreciate your testimony, and I'm going to file it in my HJR 28 folder and so that we can be certain that we have it in the record. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And with that, we'll close the public hearings, and the committee is adjourned.